Hello and welcome to Dave's Disney View Podcast. A one-time cast member, a long-time visitor, and an engineer who enjoys the magic and wonder of it all, Dave brings you his unique perspective on the Walt Disney World Resort. Throughout the show, we ask that there be no eating, drinking, smoking, or flash photography. Please keep your hands and arms inside the moving vehicle at all times and enjoy the show. Thank you. Well, last week I talked about the first part of my most recent trip to Disney. You may recall that we were doing some things around the park and I brought you some ride audio and so forth. Now I'd like to finish it with some stories and a few other things to fill in. So welcome to part two of Dave's visit to Disney World. We did a little shopping around, went into a couple of different shops, had some fun, and we ate at the Liberty Tree Tavern, which was kind of fun. I wouldn't say it was spectacular. I remembered it as being very good, and this time I would just say it was good. Maybe they were having an off day. Maybe it was just change of something they were doing. I don't know, but I just found it to be not as good as I remembered it. And then sometimes memories fade a little bit, and they're always a little sweeter than it actually was. But I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the company, and I had a lot of fun, and I still love the restaurant. It's just kind of nice in the colonial theme there, where you sit and just enjoy yourself. We got a chance to ride the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, the TTA, which to me will always be the Wedway People Mover. I love the way they built this with the linear induction motors to pull the thing around. It's clean, it's efficient, it's quick, and it's powerful. And it's an amazing ride vehicle. And I'm surprised that more communities and more cities haven't picked up on this technology to be able to move people around. But then I guess politics has something to do with it. But really, it's a remarkable thing that Walt Disney and the Walt Disney Imagineering team came up with back in the 1950s to find an easy method of transportation, a mode of transportation that really worked. A few weeks ago, I said I would take a look at the Dumbo and Magic Carpets of Aladdin rides and give you some idea of what's different in the queuing. And it's interesting because when I went and looked at both of them, I noticed that the Magic Carpets had basically the double the capacity in the number of cars. So you could ride four people to a car as opposed to two in Dumbo. So basically you've doubled the capacity that way. Also, what they did is in Dumbo, when you go up to the ride, you get to a certain point and then they put you in the holding area before you get on the ride. And you're in a group of however many people can ride on Dumbo and they give you the little cards so that you can get in there. And they make you wait for the next ride and then they bring the next group up. With the Magic Carpets, what they do is they put some people to the right, some people to the left, so each side has about half. They don't do the cards, and it actually makes things move a little more efficiently, so they're just counting the number of people that come in. So on Dumbo, they give you the card, you go in, you put the card on the elephant's ear when you climb into the cab, when you're on his back, basically, and then the cast member comes around and picks all those up and makes sure that they have them and they give them to the next group. So there's a little bit of extra time there, and it's a small amount of time, but incrementally it becomes larger each time that you have to wait in a queue for someone else to do it. So when you get to the Magic Carpets, they just count the number of people and they let you go out, and they have two pens of people, two groups that they're letting go on the ride at the same time. So you're effectively managing your queue to get people on the ride faster. So doubling the capacity and having the ability to just count and not have to pick up the cards makes an enormous difference in what happens. Because otherwise, the rides are essentially the same. It's just really interesting how the small details there really make a difference in how fast you can get on or off the ride. So I took a look at it and just wanted to share with you as I was looking at that and was thinking about the queuing model that they use there. And then as the day drew to a close, it was time to go home. So I got on the monorail and headed back out to my car. Of course, the fact that I took the boat over means that I have to take the monorail back, right? So I'm just waiting now for the monorail to come pick me up. Ooh, we get Monorail light blue today. So teal, I guess, is the color, right?
Yes, directly to the transportation and ticket center. If you're traveling to busy, contemporary, Polynesian, or Grand Floridian resorts, please exit this monorail. The monorail on the opposite side of the station services our resort hotels. For assistance, please ask the monorail host or hostess. If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors. They will be closed. The monorail will depart momentarily for the train. Thank you. Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express monorail to the transportation and ticket center. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the door. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
As I was leaving the transportation and ticket center, I couldn't help but look over at the platform that goes to the Epcot line. And back in July 4th, or actually it was early in the morning of July 5th last year, we had that monorail accident. And I just, you know, I felt a twinge of sadness. As a former cast member, you're a member of a community, and it's like almost being like being in a fraternity. It's the strangest thing. When you go around and you meet different people and you mention that you were a former cast member and they say, hey, I was a former cast member, it's almost like you want to do the secret handshake because you were part of this fraternity. And you really have this camaraderie with anybody who was a cast member or any, you know, connection to anybody who is a cast member. And you walk up to them, you know, you're just talking to them as you're, you know, if you're in the parks and you're a guest and you walk up and talk to somebody and say, hey, I was a cast member. It's like your old buddies. It's just, that's just the way it works. That's just the way Disney cast members are. And having been one at one time, I feel this kinship to all of them. So having heard about the monorail pilot who was tragically died last year in the monorail accident, I couldn't help but think of that as I was walking by the platform because, you know, without going too much into it in this show, the monorail is just one of those amazing vehicles. I just think it really sets a new precedent for the way mass transit could go if politics weren't what it was and there were other things like that. But, you know, and for 50 years, it ran without a hitch. There was a couple of accidents that happened, and they were related to filming commercials or doing some things for maintenance or things like that, but nobody got killed. And here was the first time you had someone get killed, and it was a true tragedy, and it was really sad. And you know, given the history and the safety record of these vehicles, I'm just, you know, it's one of those things that just made me feel that sadness and that kinship to that cast member and his family and the other cast members around and the other driver who was involved in the accident and the other people who were there on the platform or were involved in some way. I will be curious to see what the NTSB reports. They're supposed to put out a finding sometime soon. I don't know what. Maybe I'll talk about that at some point if it's interesting or relevant. But I just felt that twinge of sadness, and I wanted to share that with you because it's just a moment where you stop and think about things for a little bit, you know, because it happened right there. And here I was walking by it, and tens of thousands of people walk by it every day. And it just, you know, just touched me in a way, in a kind of a strange way. And it just had to stop and think about it for a moment.
On this magic night, a million stars will play beside us, cast a spell of light, glimmering, shimmering, carouseling round.
The spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life. And now, the Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney in spectral magic.
I was getting in the car just about the time that it was time for Spectral Magic to start. And it was funny because I got in the car, I was leaving, and I could hear Spectral Magic just starting as I was kind of heading to the monorail. Then as I got back to the main parking lot at the Transportation and Ticket Center, I was coming out of there, and I could hear Spectral Magic playing from the park. You can hear the music playing just a little bit, so I'd hear that. And then I got in the car, and as luck would have it, the next track on my CD was the Spectral Magic music. So it was just really funny. So it was like, hey, I get to listen to the whole Spectral Magic parade on my CD without actually seeing it. So in my mind, I was kind of watching the parade. How's that? There was one, hey, there's always amusing moments that happen. One amusing moment that I caught was that there was someone I heard in the park who was telling me, you know, they weren't a huge fan of Disney. They came for their kids, and they were there for, you know, to enjoy their kids watching it, but they weren't a huge fan and didn't like going there, didn't want to come back. So she was saying some things like that, and I was kind of overhearing her conversation. She's like, you know, it's just,
this is, you know, I don't want this to be my vacation every year. I want this to just be that, you know, that once in a while special thing. She was telling her husband that you know, she just didn't really love it. She just kind of went along for the ride. And, you know, I was just kind of frustrated because now, you know, this time it was cold, the last time she was there it was hot, whatever. And she was saying that, you know, she wasn't sure what she wanted to do. And then, as luck would have it, or karma or fate or whatever, the next park she went into, she was asked to take a survey, and they actually gave her a survey kit to go around and rate her experiences and give her feedback about the parks. And I just thought that was really interesting because, you know, sometimes luck or fate is a funny thing. But the other side of it is that Disney, that's one of the things that I really like about Disney, is that they're always looking, striving for ways to improve themselves. And I was kind of thinking as I was listening to her, what are the things that make Disney really special? Number one, they really imagine things in a very, very grand way. Everything is kind of well planned out, well themed, and well thought out. Now, looking at some of the Magic Kingdom through adult eyes, there's certain things about it. I can certainly see why she would say that. Now, the kid in me still says, man, this is the coolest thing ever. But I can see why she might have said that. The other thing is that they really take the time to understand what their guests think and want. So in this case, you know, they were asking her, and I think it was just the luck of the draw. They were asking her to take the survey. I don't suspect that they were looking out for someone who really didn't look like they were having a good time. I think it was just luck that they caught her at the right moment and asked her to do the survey. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. Don't know what the outcome of the story was. You know, don't know if she's coming back, but just thought that was kind of interesting to hear that she had said that. So kind of funny that way. Yeah, interesting to talk to people and see what's going on and to kind of get a feel for it. And I always love stopping and talking to people anyway. It's just, people are interesting, and especially in a place like this at Disney World, I mean, that's another reason that I thought it was a really neat place to work. People are there primarily to have a good time. So when you talk to them and you get a chance to, you know, to get inside their heads a little bit, you find out a little more about them with them being in the right mindset or the right frame of mind or having the right attitude that day, which I think is kind of neat when you start to get to that level. So that was one thing that happened. The other thing was sort of an amusing thing that that happened that I really haven't quite figured out. So apparently, my brother had bought the Disney Dining Plan, and he's like, man, it's a great value. He's telling me, you know, it works out really well because you get the sit-down meal, the counter service meal, and the snack every day. And frankly, I've never bought the Disney Dining Plan because typically when I go up to the park, I'm staying in a hotel off-property. And it's not because I don't like the hotels on-property, because I do. It's just that typically I get a better deal myself staying off-property and then driving into the parks. And it just works out that way because I typically like to drive from the hotel to the park. I typically don't eat one sit-down meal and one counter service meal every day and a snack. I try to economize where I eat. I might eat more if I did that. You know, I'm just saying that's the way I live. So when I do that, I've just never found the value in doing it based on the fact that, you know, I can get better value staying somewhere else. Now, that's, again, it's not to say that I dislike any Disney property. It's just about value to me, and that's the way it works. So I've never had the Disney Dining Plan. And so he was telling me about this, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's the story I've heard. It's, you know, it's a good value. He said, but it's really strange because I've had a couple of problems when I've gone in to use it. So he's handed them his card, and a couple of times they say there's nothing left, when of course he still has something left. And there's, you know, some strange oddities that happen there. And it was just, he just was kind of, you know, vexed by it. It seemed like it was something that happened throughout his vacation that there always seemed to be one little problem. Now, nothing that was not correctable, nothing that spoiled the vacation, nothing like that. But it was just an interesting little thing. So while I was there, we went into Cosmic Rays where we were going to get something to eat. And he goes, hey, look, I've got a couple of the counter service meals left. I can use a couple of them if you want. You know, if you want a meal, I'll just pick it up. I said, okay, sounds great. So he goes ahead and uses it. And there was a couple other people with us, and it was just the strangest thing. So we placed the order, and the guy that was taking the order was having a problem. Anyway, he was having a problem reading the cards. I'm not sure what exactly was going on, but he couldn't get it to read right. He had to cancel the order. He had to resubmit the order. He had to do something else, and it took, like, I don't know, it must have taken 15 minutes just to get the order in. And, you know, it was a fairly simple order, you know, a few hamburgers and whatever. Shouldn't have been that hard. So he's working on it. He's trying to get it figured out. And he has to call a supervisor over, then has to reset the register, and they have to put the order in another time. And, you know, it just kind of, it gets almost silly. I'm just, you know, I'm watching it. I'm going, are you kidding me? So I walk up to the counter to pick up the trays. And they had already filled the order, of course. And the guy looks at me and goes, well, if you're not going to take the order now because they're resetting the order, then this food's going to get cold and I can't serve it to you. I'm like, huh? So he just takes it and dumps it out. I'm like, okay. So then they fill the order, and I take it, and I take part of it back to the table, and my brother takes part of it back, and somebody else takes another part, because it comes out in dribs and drabs, right? So we take it out. So I'm taking my part back. I turn around. My brother's got what looks like the right amount of food to finish out the order. Then another guy brings back another tray of food that's, you know, like way more than it looks like we need. Then this guy who works there, one of the cast members, comes around with another tray of food that is piled up with food and extra drinks and desserts and some other stuff, and brings it over to us and puts it on the table. So I'm looking at it, and it's like, you know, we had ordered 4 sandwiches and now we had 9. Or, you know, 4 hamburgers and now we had 9. And we had like 12 orders of fries and some sugar-free brownies and, you know, like 3 chocolate milks and some water and all kinds of other stuff. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, what is going on here? So it was just really amusing to see how that worked out. So, you know, I guess in that case, the Disney dining plan really did work out, because we got like 3 meals for the price of 1. I really couldn't figure out what happened there. Plus, of course, they had thrown out one complete order. So I was just kind of dumbfounded by the whole thing. So we wound up, there was a group of Canadian, maybe early college age students who were sitting there. So we wound up giving them all the extra food. We're like, hey, you guys look hungry. You know, you look like you're college guys. Could you use some extra food? They're like, oh, yeah, hey, we'd be happy to take it. And so they take the food, and they enjoyed it. And, you know, so I'm glad somebody got some use out of it rather than just throwing it away. So we get our little karma points for today, just based on the fact that we were helping them out a little bit. But it was just so funny how much food came out and how that worked out. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that, where it worked out, you know, in quite that way. It was just an amusing sort of thing that, you know, it's unexpected, and yet, you know, it was kind of funny. So that was pretty amusing, and just really enjoyed that. That was good. So we had a lot of fun, and really enjoyed my trip. It was just a, you know, nice day to just get away and just kind of enjoy myself. And as luck would have it, it was my brother's birthday, so he was wearing a birthday pin the whole day. So that just made things more entertaining in a way, you know, because he's like, oh yeah, I'm really enjoying wearing this pin. So, you know, he'd walk into a shop, and, you know, you never know where magic is going to strike you. He'd walk into a shop, and they handed him, hey, it's for you, and they handed him the phone, and it's Goofy giving him a birthday wish. And then they went over to, when we went over and sat down at the Liberty Tree Tavern, they brought him out some dessert, a little cake with a candle on it, and it was just, you know, it was kind of fun. I can see how that would make the whole thing better in some way, you know, if you're celebrating something, your birthday or whatever. I can see how it would make it just one touch better, because you get a little sprinkle of Disney magic to go along with it, and I thought that made it just a little bit nicer in some way. And I really do like the fact that they do that. I think it is pretty cool. So there you go. That's kind of my work for today. It's sort of a trip report, sort of wrapped into a couple of stories there. Just a lot of fun to go back and, you know, kind of be there and just enjoy myself and get to see my brother and hang out for a while. I thought that was a lot of fun. So there you go. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. And that'll wrap up the second part of my podcast. And as a reminder, if anyone would like to contact me, send an email to dave@bitchandave.com or visit me at davesdisneyview.bitchandave.com. Feel free to drop me an email, let me know what you think, other topics you'd like to hear. I'm always interested to hear from people and kind of get a sense of what you think about my podcast and how I could make it better and more efficient. Remember that I'm trying to build something that fits more with a short attention span, and I want to make it relevant to me and to you. So if you have any ideas, please feel free to submit them. I hope you enjoyed the Dave's Disney View podcast. Now, please watch your head and step as you exit the moving vehicle.
take small children by the hand. The moving conveyor belt and your ride vehicle are moving at equal and opposite speeds, so please watch your step. And thanks for joining us on Dave's Disney View podcast. From all of us, thanks for riding along with us. If you have questions or comments, or just would like to contact Dave, send him an email to dave@bitchindave.com. That's bitchin dave.com.